Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to the first podcast episode of 2021. I am so excited to be back recording on the floor of Lexi's bedroom today. I'm feeling really fresh from 3 weeks holidays. I had my first work day of 2021 yesterday and feeling, yeah, really fresh, very clear, very, very clear plan on what I want to create for you this year. So I'm really, really excited to be, yeah, back in the seat today recording this episode. So thank you so much for all of your feedback on the personal highs and lows and business highs and lows episodes. They were super, super fun to record and also I think quite cathartic to record as well. So what's happening this season, you may want to know. So this season I'm calling the Step Into You season and it's going to be running till the end of February. I launched my Step Into You program, my first one in 2019, and it was a bit of a departure for me. It's quite different to what I had content I had created or trainings I'd offered before. And it's really a whole philosophy unto itself. So this season, as I said, it's the Step Into You podcast season. So if you're feeling a bit flat, a bit burnt out, I like to describe it as a low-res version of myself, then you are going to love this season. I'm going to be diving into lots of different areas from spirituality to relationships to health to lots of different areas. And the whole idea of this season is to really help you step into the high-res version of yourself so you feel energized, excited, connected with yourself, connected with others, and really ready to take on 2021 and make it your year this year. So you will definitely, even if you're feeling like, yeah, I'm in a pretty good place, you will still definitely pick up some gems this season. So the whole idea is to move you from low res to Technicolor this season. And one of my themes actually for this year is to give no fucks. Okay. So I'm going to be sharing a lot more in this season than I have ever shared before on the podcast or elsewhere. But yeah, sharing stuff that I've only shared with my one-on-one mentees in the past. So I'm really excited about that. But also, if I'm very honest, feeling pretty nervous about that too. And Step Into You is actually the theme of my entire quarter. So in February, 1st of February, I'm going to be hosting my first ever Step Into You challenge. So that's 5 days for me to help you step into the person you want to be. It's totally free. But you do need to register. And the link to register is lorrainemurphy.com.au/step into you. So that's a 5-day challenge. It runs from Monday, the 1st of February, until that Friday, which is the 6th of February, I believe. And each day I'll be setting you a small task, very manageable on your time, that will help you explore different ways to step into the version of yourself that you want to be. And it's totally, as I said, it's totally free. And I'm really, really excited. I've never done this Step Into You challenge before. So it's kind of like a mini program, but a free program and super, as I said, super easy on your time. And I think it's also a chance to feel part of something. You know, 1st of February, the January holidays are over. For those of you who've got school kids, kids are back at school. And it's really a chance for you to focus on yourself after maybe focusing a lot on family, partners, and so on over the Christmas period and coming out of the year that was 2020. Okay, so on to this episode. For those of you who listened to my personal highs and lows episode that I published, I think, God, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago now, you will know that we are having a baby. And in this episode, I wanted to share the story of this pregnancy because I have learned that if there's one thing that the journey to these babies has taught me, it's that there's a huge amount of growth and challenges in that. And that's my own personal journey and myself and my own personal journey, of course, as well. So I was really keen to, I guess, unpack the story of this pregnancy because, first of all, I know I've had so many questions from my community about it, which is really, really beautiful. And also, I thought it'd be a really nice, selfishly, an opportunity for me to kind of debrief on the whole experience and a chance to share a bit more behind the scenes with you, my listeners, as well. I do not take it lightly at all, the amount of incredible love that's been sent our way when we announced our baby news a couple of weeks ago. And I wanted to, yeah, share a little bit more behind the curtains with you as part of this episode. And as I said, there are a lot of life lessons for me in stepping into the person that I want to be as part of this pregnancy journey as well. So I thought it would be a nice kickstart to this season as well. And I did actually want to share this journey as part of more like over the holiday season. But to be honest, I recorded that personal highs and lows episode and I was so shocked, not shocked, maybe shocked is too strong. I was taken aback at how emotional I was recording that episode. And I just also at that point, it just felt completely surreal still that we were having a baby. It's starting to feel real now. As I'm recording this, we're 17 weeks pregnant, 17 and a half weeks pregnant. However, I do look like I'm where I was at when I was 26 weeks pregnant with Lexi. So yeah, that's what I'm going to do for this episode. So yeah, strap in, make yourself some tea, grab a wine, and I'm going to take you on the journey of this pregnancy story. Okay, so a bit of backstory to our conception journey. So when it actually took us 18 months to get pregnant with Lexi, and we actually found out after a year, just over a year after we started trying, we went to a fertility specialist to see if there was something else going on. And we actually found out during the tests for that I had a laser procedure done for precancerous cells on my cervix when I was, 22, 23. And what we actually discovered is that I had scar tissue on my cervix and that was potentially preventing us from getting pregnant. And also when I had a laparoscopy, so I had a day procedure at hospital and I had a laparoscopy. So in that laparoscopy, our fertility specialist dilated my cervix and also found that I actually had quite bad endometriosis, which I was completely unaware that I had. So he dealt with both of those issues while I was under general anesthetic and we had a period straight. Well, I had a period after that procedure and then we got pregnant straight away with Lexi. So that's what happened with Lexi. And then we had a very loose plan that when she was two, we would be aimed to be pregnant with our second baby. And at the start of 2019, we had a conversation as part of our annual goal setting and I said, let's open the door for another baby. Wade had said he was never trying for a baby again after 18 months of trying with Lexi. So I changed my language and talked about opening the door instead. And he didn't feel like we were in the position to do that. We had the previous year in 2018 attempted a tree change to the Gold Coast, which hadn't worked out. So we were only back in Sydney, probably 3 months by the time we're having this conversation. And he felt like we needed to just settle in, get ourselves established, get our businesses on track. And yet he didn't think we were in a position to have a baby. And looking back, he was absolutely right. However, the universe had other plans. And a couple of months later, we actually got pregnant without trying, which was a massive shock to me after trying so hard with Lexi for 18 weeks or for 18 months. So we found out we were pregnant. We were shocked and then thrilled. And went through that pregnancy until we got to 11 and a half weeks. Everything was going well until then. And then we went for our Harmony test, so the kind of genetic testing. And we had a quick scan beforehand just to check that the baby was kind of developing before they took the bloods to do the test. And it was clear that the baby had not developed. So I don't want to linger on this too much. So it was, it's called a miscarriage. So I took Medicaid, went to the hospital, took medication, which brought on a miscarriage. So that happened in June 2019. And then we said, okay, well, are we trying then? I guess we are. So I had a normal cycle after the miscarriage and then we got pregnant the next cycle and was just shocked that we'd gotten pregnant again so easily, which was just incredible after the experience trying to get pregnant with Lexi. And Wade didn't actually know we were pregnant because he was in the US with work at the time. And I miscarried that baby I knew I was pregnant for 8 days. So it was very, very early. But after the pain of the previous one, it was not good. And I definitely went down a very slippery slope and was quite depressed for a few months after that experience. So we got to the start of 20, we got to the end of 20, sorry, we got to the end of 2019. I was on a big mission during 2020 to really, first of all, get my mental health on track after the experience of depression late the previous year. And we again had our goal setting conversation at the start of last year. And we had said, okay, well, we might talk about trying for another baby later on this year. And then COVID happened. That put a huge amount of pressure on I don't think it put a huge amount of pressure on our relationship. I've talked about this a lot more in the personal highs and lows, but I think it really became a catalyst for us to sort our shit out in our relationship. And, you know, issues that have been burning for a number of years, probably. It's like just, yeah, everything exploded. Wade was on huge damage limitation mode with his business. We were at home and we were working through a lot of issues in our relationship, which I'm actually going to talk about more in this season, because I think it was just such a huge learning for us. And it's also something I talk about a lot with my love club and with my mentees as well. So we did a huge amount of deep work on our relationship last year. And also I did a lot of work on my health, because with the stress of everything going on early last year, I started to experience really bad night sweats, which scared the absolute shite out of me. I went and had bloods. I was actually concerned I was in early menopause, because that's exactly where my brain went straight away. And bloods were fine. There was nothing kind of obvious wrong with my bloods. But it was really, really stressful. It was just horrible. So I actually started to work with an acupuncturist in June, who pretty much said, I need to see you every week for 8 weeks and then we'll reevaluate from there. And Maggie pretty much rebuilt my body from the inside out, particularly hormonally. I could really see a huge difference just in terms of my mood, just being a lot more level. And night sweats stopped, which was amazing. I noticed a huge difference in my sex drive and also just signs of ovulation without going into too much detail, but signs of ovulation were a lot more powerful than they had been for a number of years beforehand. And my friend Leela Lutz, who is an absolute health guru, has often said that often women look to their periods to kind of get a bit of a scorecard as to where their bodies are at, where actually it's ovulation is even more critical, because that's when we make all the hormones. I'm probably bastardizing this completely, but from my layman's terms, from what she said, ovulation is when we actually make all the hormones that we need for our whole cycle. So that was really, really encouraging that I was getting, I guess, that positive feedback from the acupuncture and committing so much to that. Another thing I just want to touch on as well is sex was a major point of contention in our relationship, and it had been for a few years. And I'm going to talk about this more. I actually think I'm going to talk about this in next week's episode. And I just had huge insight and growth in that area last year. This is one of my give no fucks themes. I really want to talk about this because it's just been life changing for me what happened last year. So I will talk about it next week. So sex, as I said, there was huge improvement on that front, and we were just really happy. So kind of mid third quarter of last year, we were both, myself and Wade, really happy. Our businesses, my business was going very well. His was stabilized after the kind of first shock of coronavirus. And yeah, having a lot of fun on the sex front, which was awesome. So then we decided then in August, okay, we'll open the door. I think I'm getting my months right. Sorry, I may not be. We said we'd open the door in August, and we didn't actually think we'd hit the window. I thought we were like 3 or 4 days too early, and then we didn't actually have sex again in the window that would have definitely hit the window. So I assumed nothing would happen that month and that we would, you know, try again / open the door again the following month. I just say it's very strange to be recording this podcast episode knowing it's going out to people. But the reason I'm sharing it is that I know that the stuff that I hesitate on hitting post on, or emails I hesitate on pressing send on, they're the ones that seem to resonate most with people. So it's one of my big commitments this year is to share more about the kind of deeper stuff and the stuff that maybe I would feel, I wouldn't say ashamed, but maybe embarrassed or self-conscious about sharing, because I do think that's when we get the biggest learnings and the biggest connections with other people. So didn't think we'd hit the window. My period was due on a Friday. We actually went away as a family for the weekend to Wollongong. One of my early signs with Lexi was hunger, like extreme hunger. I remember when I didn't know I was pregnant yet with Lexi, but I had lunch at home. And then I went to meet my friend Melissa Ambrosini we were meant to just meet for like a tea in the afternoon in Bondi. And I remember it was lashing rain that day and I just had lunch and I just had to have the fish pie. I was so hungry and I was like, what the hell is going on? Is it just because it's a wet, cold day? What's happening? And I found out the next day then that we were pregnant. So I didn't have that like burning, gnawing, I need to eat right now feeling, but I was a lot hungrier in the evenings and I was starving for dinner. And I just thought that's because I was exercising so much. So the other thing I was doing as well is, as well as the acupuncture, I finally found an exercise routine that I loved. So I was exercising, working out 5 days a week. I'm still doing that. So bar Pilates, so mat Pilates and reformer Pilates. And my body just felt really strong. And my core felt really strong, especially. So I just put that hungry for dinner down to the fact that I was exercising so much. So we went away to Wollongong. My period was due on the Friday. And I mean, it's interesting. When I was, before I had Lexi, my cycle was a 34-day cycle. And then I got my period back a year after having Lexi. And my cycle pretty much immediately went to 28 days. So, and it's been pretty religious. It would be very, very rare that I would be even a day late. It's pretty much to the day, which has been, you know, has felt really good that I'm so regular. So period was due Friday, went away to Wollongong, but I had no other symptoms. Like I didn't have sore boobs, was still a bit hungry, but again, just thought that was exercise. So, and of course, I didn't think we'd hit the window. So I just said to Wade, look, I'm late. This is weird. But, you know, I don't think we could be. So I said I would do a test once I got back to Sydney on the Monday and I just couldn't wait. Sunday we went to the beach and we went to get some food for dinner on the way back in Coles and I just couldn't wait. I just grabbed a pack of tests and we came home and it was interesting doing the test with Wade at home because the three times that I have gotten positive pregnancy tests in the past, Wade has been either away or at work or just hasn't been around. So I did the test with him and Lexi in the living room. And it was positive. So I was just shocked because I just didn't, as I said, I just didn't think that we were in with a chance that particular month. And the previous times, with the first two pregnancies, I wrote a note to like Wade from the baby. I was waiting when he got home from work and had like a glass of champagne or kombucha to celebrate. And this time I just kind of walked out into the living room and showed him the test. And of course, Lexi grabbed it straight away. And I said, it's positive. And he was just like, no. Like we were both just completely shocked. And we were kind of just standing there. He was sitting down. I was standing looking at him. And we were just, I don't know, just completely and utterly shocked. So after a couple of minutes, I just walked into the bedroom and sat on the bed. And the first feeling I had was, I mean, of course, obviously shock. Second feeling was just incredible gratitude that my body had fallen pregnant so easily again. And then the third feeling was absolute terror. I just burst into tears and Wade came in and sat down in the bed with me and I was just bawling. And I just said, like, I'm just so afraid of, you know, this happening again. And yeah, and you know, what's just come to mind as I was planning out this episode or just kind of getting my talking notes down. I remember listening to a podcast interview. Oprah Winfrey was interviewing Brené Brown. And Brené Brown said that joy is one of the most terrifying, it's the most terrifying emotion that we can experience. And the reason for that is like human nature is that we experience joy at something and then immediately we think about what if that was taken away. And the example Brené Brown gives is we go in and look at our, if we've got children, we go in and look at our children asleep in bed and we just go, oh, you know, they're so beautiful, they're so perfect and you're so joy filled that they're in your life. And then your brain goes to, oh, what if anything happens to them? And you almost like that fear of attachment to that joy. So I think that's definitely what was going on for me in that moment. It was the absolute shock, then joy, and then absolute terror of what could go wrong. Because having been there twice the previous year, I knew what could go wrong. I mean, some of what could go wrong. So then we had the wait. There was mini milestones. So at five, you know, getting to the past the 5 week mark, which is when I lost the second baby in 2019, that was like, okay, that was a milestone. Then we had our 7 week scan. And just that morning, I was like an antichrist with Wade. I was just so, I don't know, just like an anyone non-Irish would understand antichrist. It just means you're just in a foul mood. I was so snappy and angry, and I didn't know what the hell was wrong with me. And we got into the scanning, like the ultrasound room, and I just burst into tears. I was just crying hysterically, and the sonographer was just so good to me, just so kind. And everything was fine at 7 weeks, but we'd, of course, been at that point before the year before. And then we went at 10 and a half weeks. We went, it wasn't called a Harmony test anymore. It was called a Nest test. And again, really upset because that was the scan that had gone very, very bad the previous year. And we got there and we couldn't get parking. So Wade had gone to park the car and I'd gone into the scan and I'd messed up the timings. I thought the scan was at 9 and it was actually at 8:45. So I was late when I got there. So they just brought me straight into the room. So Wade wasn't there when they initially like put the Doppler or whatever it is on my stomach. And I was just, yeah, wailing again. Sonographer was just beautiful with me. She's like, I've seen your history. It's okay. And she just basically got to the baby as quickly as possible. And I could see the baby and the difference between the 7 week and the 10 week was massive, which was inexperience. We hadn't, of course, had that previous time. So then felt better. 12 weeks, I felt quite confident going into that scan. And then we got the all clear at that point. But it was still totally surreal. And I think a really big reason two big reasons. I think one, I was afraid of getting attached. I've really felt very detached during the first trimester of this pregnancy, which I felt really guilty about. Because with every previous pregnancy, it's, you know, been straight away like, I love you and connecting with the baby and talking to them and visualizing my life with them. And I just couldn't let myself go there. It's like my heart was just trying to keep itself so safe for the first trimester. And I think the other reason that it felt really surreal is that only a handful of people knew. So we had told a couple friends. So Annie and Ryan are friends. We had told them I feel like we needed to tell someone. And also if anything happened, we just needed to, there was someone that we could call that we could say, hey, we need you to take over Lexi for the day or whatever it might happen. And similar, I told AJ in my business as well, because again, if I just needed my calendar cleared, if anything was going wrong, then I needed her to be aware of it. And then Michelle, I went to my mastermind retreat, which was in November. And I knew Michelle, she's just witchy. She just knows this shit whenever anything's going on. And I was eating a pork chop at 10 a.m. in the morning. So she had a pretty good idea of what was going on then. And that was it. Other than that, it was just medical people. So our midwife, my GP, my acupuncturist, obviously. And that was it. No one knew, which is bizarre because every time before when I've gotten the positive pregnancy test, I've told my sister straight away. My parents knew before Wade because I couldn't get hold of Wade at work to tell him to come home when I found out with Lexi, and I just had to tell someone. So I called my sister and my parents. So that made it really, really, really surreal. But we just wanted to do it that way this time. And I think also because my family in Ireland were going through a pretty hectic lockdown, I just didn't want anyone worrying. I just felt like we'd just kind of take ownership of that ourselves. And then hopefully, fingers crossed, once everything was good, then we could tell people the happy news and they could feel confident getting excited for us and not anxious for us. So in terms of how I felt at this point, so hunger, holy shit, so much worse than I had it with Lexi. just starving, as in crying. I was so hungry to get my breakfast into my stomach. It was hectic. And also waking up pretty much every night to eat. So I'd have my snacks lined up beside the bed. A few times I had to get up twice during the night to eat. So I'd have my banana by the bed, my muesli bar. I was just, yeah, always hungry. But then at the same time, nausea, which I didn't have with Lexi at all. So felt just hungover. I never actually vomited, which was awesome. I was incredibly lucky on that front, but just felt, yeah, just hungover, nauseous, and also really tired, like really tired. Quite a few days I had two naps, just like lying down for 20 minutes on the sofa in my office. Just didn't have anywhere near as much energy, like prioritized, obviously, Lexi. weighed, I still exercised. I dropped one workout a week. I was still doing four, but taking it pretty easy in those workouts. And I was hardly, I don't know if anyone, probably no one even noticed, but was hardly on Instagram stories. It just didn't have the energy to kind of summon up the energy to kind of get in front of Insta. And I think also the big difference was when I was pregnant with Lexi, I just was treating myself with kid gloves. I was going to bed at 8 o'clock. I was having naps at the weekend. I just embraced the, I need to look after myself. I'm pregnant. And this time around, I'm not saying this is a good thing, but I just didn't really, because also we have Lexi. Sometimes you have disturbed nights with Lexi. We had a terrible night of sleep with her in early December, a terrible week of sleep, sorry. So yeah, I just didn't rest as much as I did with Lexi. I didn't go to bed necessarily any earlier. Definitely didn't give myself the kind of the VIP chill treatment, which, you know, I probably should have, because I would have been less tired during the day. And I also put on so much weight, which was nuts. I mean, I definitely put on, I'm trying to remember what I put on with Lexi. I think it was about 14 or 16 kilos with Lexi overall. But with this pregnancy, I'd put on 5 kilos in just the first 10 weeks of whatever, up to 12 weeks, I'd put on 5 kilos. I've put on, what have I put on now? I've put on 7.5 kilos now, and that's at 17 weeks. So definitely putting on a lot more weight, which has been interesting to see kind of my body changing in that sense as well. So now feeling really good, which is great. I think around 13 week mark, I started to feel really, really good. And I think also going on that, the 3 week break, I think was really, really good to recharge on a deep level. And then we still didn't really tell anyone at 12 weeks, because we wanted to tell Lexi first. So we told Lexi at 13 weeks. We gave her a baby onesie in her Christmas stocking and a picture, the ultrasound picture, and told her that it was her early Christmas present. And she got it straight away. It was really cool. She just took it totally in her stride. And I said to her, Lexi, this is why I'm asking you to be careful with Mama's belly and my boobs, because they were just agonizing every time she like got me with her elbow in them. And then a few minutes later, she pulled up my top and gave my belly a pat. She's like, Mama, see, I'm being gentle. I'm patting the baby. So she just got it, which is pretty cool. And we hadn't told my family yet, because I wanted to tell them on Christmas Eve. And the next morning, we talked to my parents on WhatsApp most Saturday mornings. So we're on WhatsApp, and Wade had said beforehand, look, I don't think we should talk to them this morning, because we should test Lexi out with other friends to see if she says anything about the baby, because we just told her the night before. And I said, no, it's fine, we'll see how we go. And my heart was in my mouth for the entire conversation to see if she'd say anything. And she didn't. And we hung up, and Wade just said, I think she's just forgotten about it. And we didn't talk about it all that day. She had one of her little friends for a sleepover that night on the Saturday night. And I was settling her to bed. And I was like, well, I wasn't settling her to bed. I had settled her to bed an hour earlier. And I was sitting in the doorway of the bedroom, supervising the two of them so they go asleep. And Lexi just said, Mama, have you still got the baby? And I said, yeah, what baby? And she said, the baby in your tummy. And I was like, yeah, I've still got the baby. And she's like, okay. So she kind of just chats about it every now and then and gives the baby a pat. She put, before we gave Blanky to Santa's elves, she put Blanky on my belly. So she's been really, really gentle and really, really sweet about the whole thing. And what I thought was so funny, a few days after we told her school, she'd finished school for the year, and we had our babysitter come over to look after her for the day. So it was the week before Christmas. Myself and Wade were still working. And I said, Lexi, guess what? Georgie's got a puppy. And Lexi just looked at Georgie and said, yeah, well, I've got a baby in my mummy's tummy. And it was like, I will take your puppy and I will up you a baby, which is pretty hilarious. So yeah, she's very excited, just very chilled about the whole thing. And it's interesting, because I was getting really, I don't want to say obsessive, but just getting uncomfortable about the age gap, just going, this gap is getting really big. And I think particularly in Australia, I've noticed that families tend to have their babies a lot closer together. So the most common thing I think for me is to see someone with a toddler of maybe one or two and they're heavily pregnant, or else they've already got a baby. So a small baby. So I think I was getting really antsy about the age gap stretching so much. And it's been an interesting experience, because my sister had, oh God, Jenny had Jamie when Fia was 16 months. I hope I'm getting my, no, 17 months, I think. So she's got two under two. Fia turns two next month. And it's been interesting comparing notes with her on the different experiences. And I think there's such pros and cons to either. I think the pro for us now is that Lexi gets it and can get really excited with us. I've got an app that tells me the fruit or vegetable the baby is each week. And she just loves when Friday rolls around and we look at it together and she tells everyone that the baby's the size of a pickle or an avocado or whatever it is. So I think that's really cool. That's a massive pro. And of course, then she'll be able to help a bit more when the baby's born. So touch wood, all going well, she'll be four when the baby's born. And then I guess on the calm side is that we are out of baby land. Like, we are done. We have changed table cots. All of that stuff is away. Lexi still wears a pull-up at night just in case. But we're just, yeah, we took her up to Port Macquarie to see Wade's parents in September. And we just didn't pack anything. Like, she packed her own little pink suitcase. But we didn't pack toilet seats or shitloads of nappies or, like, it just felt so easy. And I commented to Wade going, wow, like, this is so low touch compared to all the crap we used to have to haul up when she was smaller. And, you know, maybe that was us bringing too much stuff as well. I don't know. So, yeah, it's strange to feel like going back into baby land. I think also for me, I've got so much freedom now. I mean, I went to Bali for 10 days and I can go on a retreat for 3-4 days. I've got a lot of freedom from, you know, not needing to be home. So I think it'll be quite strange now to go from having an almost 4-year-old to a newborn again when you're so far beyond that phase. So yeah, I think there's different pros and cons. So it's been interesting just, yeah, chatting to my sister, chatting to different friends about kind of their age gap and their experiences as well. And the thing is, myself and my sister have 3.5 years between us and we're really, really close. So yeah, that's the kind of the only model I have for my own family. So what else did I want to tell you? So it's definitely starting to feel real. So we are, as I said, we're 17 and a half weeks now. We started to tell friends the week before Christmas, and we told Wade's parents when we went on our way to Queensland. We told them, they were so happy. We told my parents on Christmas Eve. I'd gotten them a Christmas ornament saying baby's first Christmas 2021. So we had a Zoom on Christmas Eve and gave them the gifts, and they were over the moon, which is pretty cool. And it's just, I think they're mostly shocked that I managed to not tell them for so long. So, and then, yeah, so people know I did it was actually quite spontaneous. I did an Insta story on, oh God, was it the 28th, I think? And I just have like a little boomerang of me with a bump. And it was so cool. I think like I put the phone away. I took it out 2 minutes later and I had about 20 DMs straight away. So that's been really, 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 really fun to share the experience with my community, with my mastermind group, with my love club. I told both those groups beforehand. And yeah, it's been really special. I feel like there's a lot of people who, what people have said, they've been watching and hoping that they're going to get that news from us at some point. So it feels really lovely. It feels like a real community effort, which is really lovely, and a lot of community love. So it does feel like it's getting real now. I feel a lot more connected with the baby now, which feels really good. And I've had movement since 12 weeks, which definitely didn't have it that early on Lexi. I think it's quite unusual to be that early, but I could definitely feel flickers then. And now I messaged my sister. She said, you're up early the other morning. I think it was Saturday morning. And I said, yeah, Wade and Lexi are still asleep. And the baby just woke up 20 minutes ago. So I could tell that they were awake and they were starting to move around. So that's really reassuring. We'll be due for 18 to 20 week scan over the next couple of weeks. We are having a surprise. We don't know if we're having a boy or a girl. We didn't find out on Lexi either. So yeah, I don't know. I didn't know if I'd feel a pull to find out more this time. I know particularly one of my friends had said that she had to find out because she had 2 miscarriages before they had their little girl. And she just felt like it just made it more real when she knew the sex. But I just didn't have that pull. So we're going to have a surprise, which is pretty cool. I don't have a steer either way. Probably when I was about 7 months pregnant with Lexi, whenever I visualized our family, it was always a little girl. I just couldn't see a little boy. So I'm wondering if I'll have the same experience this pregnancy. So yeah, we have no idea what's coming our way. We are hoping to have a home birth. So the plan was to have a home birth with Lexi, and she did meconium. So basically she did her first poo inside me when I was in, I don't want to say the later stages of labor, but I was in very active labor and had been in labor for 3.5 days. And then, yeah, she decided that, no, it wasn't going to happen at home. So we transferred to hospital and she was born. And very calm transfer. I was in the back of my midwife's car. There was no ambulances or anything. And yeah, she was born. We got to the hospital, I think, at 9 p.m. and she was born just after midnight. So plan A, this is what I'm saying, is a home birth, because I'm very conscious that babies have their own plans. But I would love to get to have our home birth this time around. That would be absolutely beautiful. We have got the same midwife that we had with Lexi. So I'm seeing her this week for our first appointment. So I'm really, really excited to see her again. And we had a really, really beautiful relationship during pregnancy and birth with Lexi. And I'm just feeling really good. I have no symptoms as such right now, other than obviously I'm a dress size bigger than I was at the start of this pregnancy. I just feel quite stable right now. I'm exercising a lot. I just said to Wade this morning, I think also the 3 week break as well. I did 3 workouts last week and I did my first one this week, this morning, and just felt really strong and energized, which feels great after, you know, I definitely had to take it a lot easier in the first trimester. So that feels really good. And also sleeping really well, but having very lucid dreams, which is bizarre. I dream about a different friend every night and it's like so real. It's like being in a movie with them. So that's the debrief. Thank you so much for coming on the journey with me. And I guess I wanted to capture some of the lessons because, as I said, this whole experience has been, it's very much in line with the step into you philosophy, you know, of stepping into the person that you can be, because I do think that babies have their own plan. And obviously the previous two babies, their plan was not to join us on this earth at this particular time. And I think this baby's plan has been to just get us to sort our shit out. There was a lot of work to do, on my physical health, on my mental health, which, I mean, I really got to the time we conceived last year and I just felt physically stronger and mentally stronger than I had in years. You know, even before the depressive, those few months of depression, I just, yeah, even back, I feel like there was probably something like that building for a couple of years, just with general stress and life changes and so on. So yeah, there was a huge amount of work to do on my mental health, my physical health, also Wade and I. The sex thing was just revolutionary last year, which I will talk about in next week's episode. And I think the thing that it's taught me again is just that element of surrender. You know, I was so, I mean, my close friends can tell you, I was so attached to when are we going to have this baby, like getting really obsessive about it, like if it's not going to happen now, when are we going to be ready, what's going to happen, what do we need to do. And it was really interesting where I kind of just took my eye off it for a couple of months last year, and that's when the baby dropped in. I mean, we weren't actively trying until then, but that's when they did end up dropping in. And I think the other lesson as well is just deep gratitude that every day that everything's okay and I can feel our baby moving and I'm feeling well, I'm grateful for that. I am so fucking grateful for that. Because I know what it's like when it's not okay. So obviously we have a long way to go yet. We've still got over half a pregnancy to go and obviously birth and early days and so on to navigate. But yeah, just every day that things are okay, I'm feeling very, very, very grateful for that. So they've been my biggest lessons. So yeah, as I said, thank you so much for joining me on this journey. It does feel highly self-indulgent when I just talk about myself for entire episodes, but I am hoping that you get some nuggets, whether you're thinking about starting a family, you have been trying to start a family and not having the result that you want to have just yet, or if you're way past the stage and you just like listening to this because it brings you back to that time yourself. Wherever you're at in your own journey, I just want to send you lots and lots and lots of love. And I know firsthand how painful it is from, I think, two perspectives. One, when you're trying to get pregnant and it's not happening, because we had 18 months of that ourselves with Lexi. And then also getting pregnant and then losing babies. It's just awful. And every time I talk about our experience, I get so many messages from my community. So I'm really, really glad to be able to talk about it openly, and also that Wade is happy for me to talk about it openly, that hopefully it helps you on your journey wherever you're at as well. So thank you to my beautiful community. Thank you for listening. You're the absolute best. It's been so special to feel held by all the love from my community during this really special time as we announce our news. So thank you. And also one last reminder that the Step Into You Challenge is happening on the 1st of February. I cannot wait to do this. This is my first big thing of the year and I'm just so amped up to do it. So if you want to step from a low-res version of yourself into a technicolor version of yourself, this 5-day challenge is the place to be. So again, just quick reminder, the link is lorrainemurphy.com.au/step-into-you. Okay, I am quietly cacking myself about next week's episode because I'm going to be talking about my sex journey last year. So anyone related to me is banned from listening to next week's episode. But as I said, it was probably my biggest revelation out of last year. And I'm really, really excited to share it with all of you next week. Excited and terrified. So thank you so much for joining me in this week's episode. And I'm excited about this Step Into You season. It's going to be big. And I'm, as I said, be sharing a lot more than I've shared to date in this season as well. So sending you much love. As always, love to hear your feedback on my episode. So yeah, until next week, I'll chat to you then. Goodbye. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is @LorraineRemarks and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.